Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in the first book of Samuel, a new favorite book. Used to be Ruth, now it's Samuel. Yeah, for a very short time, Ruth, exactly. Yeah, when Judges used to be. Yeah, we're going to go through chapter 1 and 2. I'll let you guys get there. First book of Samuel, chapter 1 and 2. We'll open in prayer once you guys get there. First book of Samuel. We're going to be in Samuel for a while. Well, we'll hope, God willing, we're going to cover two chapters until we take our holiday break. So we got 5 weeks. If everything goes good, we'll get through 10 chapters, take a holiday break, and we'll come back and charge forward. Yeah, we'll probably be in Samuel for a while. Yeah. So why don't we go ahead? Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name this afternoon, Lord, to go through these two chapters, we ask you, Lord, that you'd open our hearts and our minds to your word, that you'd minister to us, and that we would learn from you, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Samuel is another historical book in the Old Testament. The time frame of this book is between 1100 and 1000 B.C., so it's somewhere around that time frame. Samuel was a priest, a prophet, and a judge in Israel. A lot of responsibility as he got older. Samuel was raised as a Nazarite in the tabernacle in Shiloh. Samuel was a prophet. He was the prophet who anointed King Saul and King David, right, as kings. Samuel was Israel's last judge, and he was the first great prophet since Moses. He was dedicated to the Lord by his godly mother, Hannah, as we're going to find out, and he was raised by the high priest, Eli, in the tabernacle at Shiloh. It is believed that Samuel wrote this book right up until chapter 25 when he died. So he dies in chapter 25. And most likely, tradition is believed that the prophets Nathan and Gad continued writing his book, along with probably some other scribes. So this afternoon, we're going to look at the family of Elkanah, that's Samuel's father, Samuel's mother's vow to the Lord, his mother Hannah, Samuel's birth and dedication, we're going to look at that. We're going to go through Hannah's prayer to the Lord. We're also going to read about the wicked sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. We're going to also go through Samuel's childhood ministry and the prophecy against Eli's household. Okay, so let's go ahead. Well, let's begin our journey through the book of Samuel, chapter 1, the family of Elkanah. Verse 1 says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, of the mounds of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eliu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penaniah. Penaniah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man, Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also, the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Penaniah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. Although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival, Penaniah, Her rival, Penaniah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb. Verse 7 says, so it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. So let's stop right there. We're in 1 Samuel. Just went through the first 7 verses. Let's stop here. So Elkanah, he was a man from the tribe of Levi, who lived in the hill country of Ephraim, as we just read. Elkanah had 2 wives, right? Penaniah and Hannah. We know through Scripture, right, back in Genesis 2:4, this was never God's intention for a man to have 2 or more wives, right? We know that, Genesis 2:4, but he did. This man, Elkanah, did. Elkanah and Penaniah and Hannah kind of mirror Jacob, Leah, and Rachel, right? They kind of mirror the same type of thing, right? Elkanah loved Hannah more, and she was barren. Jacob loved Rachel more, and she was barren. So they kind of marry each other a little bit. But God did bless both Hannah and Rachel with children to accomplish his goal, right? The providence of God, which we've been talking about. Now, it says that Elkanah went up to the tabernacle in Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord. This was most likely the Feast of Tabernacles, same feast we're going through in the book of John right now, the Feast of Tabernacles. Eli was a priest who served God at the tabernacle, as we read, and he was also the 14th judge in Israel. So he was a priest and a judge, right? Same with Samuel. He was a priest and a prophet and a judge. And as we read, he had 2 sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were priests as well at the tabernacle underneath their father's leadership. It also says that Elkanah would make an offering, and he would give a portion to Penaniah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, but Hannah would give double portion, for he loved her, although the Lord closed her womb. It also says that Hananiah's rival, okay, which is Penaniah, would provoke her severely, make her miserable, right? Because the Lord had closed her womb. I mean, it sounds like a very evil woman, right? I mean, he made Hannah's life miserable, right? As it says, severely provoked her. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord to the feast with the whole family, the yearly feast, that she continued to provoke Hannah. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat, right? See, there's bullies existed back then too, right? Bullies have been around forever, right? This lady's obviously another bully, bullying Hannah. And all because she couldn't have children. It almost kind of make fun of her, like, yeah, you can't, you know, me and Elkanah can have kids together, but you guys can't. Not a very godly woman. So let's pick up in verse 8. This is great. This is Hannah's vow. Verse 8, it says, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. Verse 10. And she, Hannah, was in bitterness of her soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on my affliction of your maidservant, and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall come upon his head, being a Nazarite vow. Verse 12, and it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to Hannah, how long will you be drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Verse 16. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman, Hannah, went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Oh, let's stop here for a minute. Her face was no longer sad. So on the annual visit, Hannah was distressed as she went up to the feast, as we read. She went to the tabernacle to pray, and she asked God for her son. Man, if you're distressed, go to the Lord, and that's what she did, right? She prayed and promised the Lord if he gave her a son, she would give him back to the Lord. It takes a lot to do that. I'm not just talking about a baby dedication. I'm talking about, here you go, he's all yours. He's going to be in a tabernacle. He's going to grow up in a tabernacle. And he's going to minister before you, Lord. It says, Hannah poured out her heart to the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us all the time, if you want to find God, go and pour out your heart to him. Right? Search the Lord, the scripture says, with all your heart and all your soul, and God will be found. That's exactly what she did. So Eli the priest thought Hannah was drunk because he had observed her lips moving, but she wasn't making any sound. Right? You ever done that? Right? You pray and you're moving your lips, you're kind of praying in your heart, but you're like, oh Lord, I just mean, you know. You know, people do that all the time, right? When you pray, you can pray without even moving your lips, you know, God knows. But yeah, so he looked over and he sees her praying, her lips are moving, there's no sound, and so he thinks, she goes, I think Hannah's been drinking. She's acting kind of strange. This is weird, right? So he confronts her and he tells her, hey, you need to put the wine away. I don't know, you're speaking a different language than we are here. Right? But look at Hannah. She answered and said, oh, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Then Eli must have been convinced. He tells her, he says, fair enough, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And Hannah said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman, Hannah, went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. You notice in verse 18, after Hannah ate and she prayed, her face was no longer sad. Have you ever had a bad day? Or got some bad news, and you go get along with God and you pray, and you feel better after, right? Does that happen to you guys? It happens to me many times. You have a bad day, you know, I'm just going to go to the Lord. I'm not having a good day. I don't know why this is going on. I don't know why this happened. But there's something about going and getting alone with God and pouring out your heart and feeling better after, right? This is exactly what she did. Right? She went to God. You go to the God during the good times and the bad times. I'm also thinking that Hannah went away no longer sad because she knew God was going to answer her prayer. I feel it. She believed that she was going to be blessed with a little boy. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever prayed for somebody? You poured out your whole for somebody. Maybe somebody was going through a very bad time in their life, heard some bad news, some sickness, and you prayed for them with all your heart. And when you were done, you knew they were healed. You just had a feeling. That's happened to me before, a few times. And I've even went to the people and said, don't worry. You're going to be fine. And they were fine. You just get that feeling, you know? You get that feeling inside like God telling you, I've already handled it. It's going to be okay. I had that happen with me with a family member who called me up and cried and poured out their heart, heard that they had cancer, and I prayed for them all the way home, driving all the way home. I was down in Concord. I drove all the way back up the mountains. I prayed all the way. And by the time I was done, I got off the exit. God's like, I've already handled it. It's done. God is my witness. I called. I told them, you're all set. You watch. You go to your doctors. You don't gonna have cancer anymore. And she didn't. And that is my mother, who I wish she was here. I wish she would have came today because she'd love for me to share that story. I told her, you don't go worry about a thing. We went up to Dartmouth Hitchcock Clinic. They took a scan. We waited in there. Nurse came in, said, there's nothing on the scan. It's gone. God is good, huh? I just looked at my mother. I said, I told you. God told me you're going to... You're fine. Don't even cry anymore. A miracle. So I kind of think this, when I read this, I kind of feel like Hannah knew God's going to bless me with it. I just know. She went away. She wasn't sad anymore. Pretty awesome. All right, let's pick up here in verse 19. Samuel is born and dedicated. Verse 19 says, then they rose early in the morning and worship before the Lord, and returned and came to the house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, right? Sexual relationship, and the Lord remembered her, right? Remembered Hannah's prayer request. So it came to pass in the process of the time that Hannah conceived and bore a son. God is good. And called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. Now the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, not until the child is weaned. Then I will take him, and he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever. So Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word. I like that. Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until he had weaned him. She had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him, Samuel, up with her with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Verse 25, then she slaughtered a bull, they slaughtered a bull, and brought the child to Eli, the priest. And she said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who you thought was drunk. No, it doesn't say that. Just kidding. She probably wanted to say that. I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Oh, that's awesome, huh? Isn't that great? I mean, what a blessing. And she comes, I made a vow with the Lord. He blessed me with a boy. I'm bringing him right back to where I said I would. I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord. He's going to grow up in the house, right? He's going to grow up at Shiloh, right in the tabernacle. What awesome. All right, shortly after returning to their house in Ramah, Hannah conceived. She gave birth to a son, named him Samuel. All right, Samuel was weaned. Hannah took him to Shiloh. Now, in the ancient world, okay, the mother's breastfed until the children were like two or three. Okay, so Samuel was probably around 2 or 3 years old when she brought him up and dedicated him to the Lord and gave him to the high priest and said, here he is. Mentor him, you know, and bring him up in the house of the Lord. Let him minister, be a man of God. So he was probably around that age, 2 or 3. I've heard a lot of people say he was 3 years old. So, yeah, probably makes sense, right? He was going to be a servant of God's house. All right, then it says right here, she offered sacrifices to the Lord at the tabernacle before bringing Samuel, right? She brings this up. She actually gave double portion. She gives double than she had to, right? She gave God double what was required, right? Almost to say, Lord, you've blessed me so many times, I want to bless you double, right? You've blessed me, you've been so good to me, I want to bless you double for answering my prayer and all the things that you do, right? Giving grace back to the Lord, right? She took a vow. She told Eli, the high priest, I took a vow and how God answered her prayer, and he's given me a son, and I'm giving him to the house of the Lord. Yeah, and he was raised in Shiloh, all right? And the high priest taught him how to serve the Lord. So one last thing here before we go into a second chapter here. In verse 15, which I love this, verse 15, Hannah told the priest Eli that she poured out her heart to God, right? I can't emphasize that enough. She poured out her soul before the Lord. This reminds me of Jeremiah 29, right? Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 and 14 says, the Lord said, when you call upon me and you go and you pray to me, I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. And Hannah certainly did that. She poured out her heart and soul. God tells us in Scripture, you pour out your heart and soul to me. You come to me, seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. Jeremiah 29, 12 through 14. So let's go ahead. Let's pick up in chapter 2. This is Hannah's prayer now back to the Lord, thanking the Lord, rejoicing. Chapter 2, verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn, my strength. When you see horn, that means strength. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Oh, don't you love verse 2? Look at this. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Amen? Love that verse. Talk no more, verse 3 says, talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumble are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, that's those who are saved, us saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. There's a reference to hell right there. For by strength no man shall prevail. Verse 10. The adversaries, wait a second. What's that word there? I don't know. Adversaries, yeah, having a drawing blank. Adversaries of the Lord, thank you. Now you're paying attention. Of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. We see this a lot in Scripture. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Verse 11, then Elkanah went up to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. So let's stop here for a minute. Let's stop here after verse 11. So after Hannah brought Samuel to the house of the Lord in Shiloh to dedicate him to the Lord, she worships, right? And she prays to the Lord with joy and thanksgiving. And what a prayer that is. Right? She prays. This is her prayer in a nutshell right here. The Lord is my strength. I rejoice in his salvation. No one is holy like the Lord. There is none beside you, Lord. Nor is there any rock like our God. Right? Five things right there. What a beautiful prayer right there to keep in mind and pray when you're praying to God, right? The Lord is my strength. I rejoice in his salvation. No one is holy like the Lord. There is none besides you, Lord, nor is there any rock like our God. What a prayer. You know, that sounds a lot like King David in the Psalms. He prays like that, right? He talks about that same type of stuff. The Lord is my strength. I rejoice in, you know, his salvation. No one is holy like the Lord. These are a lot of things King David says. Lord, there's none besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. King David talks a lot about that, about God being the rock, right? Sounds just like his prayers in the book of Psalms. So after Hannah prays, after she prays, right? She went back to Ramah and she left Samuel in Shiloh. So she did all this. She leaves Samuel there and says, I'm going back home. You're staying here. I know you're only 3 years old. You'll be fine. It's hard to drop off your 14-year-old, right? He's three. 3 years old. That must have been a tough day. You have kids. You ever drop off your kids at the first time at preschool? That's awful. Right? Preschool. I remember bringing all my boys. I don't know why. I think Michelle sent me because she knew she couldn't handle it, but I always seem to be the one. And they do not let go of your legs. You know, they're just hanging on to your legs. Come on, you got to do it, Brian. You got to go. Teacher, she's so sweet. Look at her. Go, you'll be fine. I'm going to be back at 11. And they cry. Oh, really? Yeah, he's like, oh, buddy, pick me up at 2. I know it ends at 11. I'm going to hang out here, Ma. Yeah. I like the toys here. Oh, yeah, he was ready to go. Yeah, he wanted the extended hours. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I went right in my car and cried after. I called Michelle. This is brutal. I'm staying in the parking lot till 11. I'm going to watch him go out at recess. Make sure he's all set. They're like, go home, Sean. You're going to be fine. Yeah, I'm not going to be fine, though. Samuel, 3 years old. Here you go, Eli. Raise him up to be a man of God. What's that? Oh, yeah, we're going to see that. Yeah, she did. She'd go up yearly. She probably went up in between that, too, but yeah, that would have been real tough leaving them there. You might have got away with that with Malachi, but not Samuel, right? Stay here. I don't know when I'll be back. I don't think so. So let's pick up here in verse 12. The wicked sons of Eli. Oh boy, they were wicked. Verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were corrupt. You know when God puts that in the scripture? They were corrupt, right? They did not know the Lord, it says. Now these are priests working in the house of God. Verse 13, and the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come with a three-pronged flesh hook in his hand while the meat was boiling. Then he would thrust it into the pan or the kettle or cauldron or pot, and the priest would take for himself all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Verse 15, also before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who sacrificed, give meat for roasting to the priest, for he will not take boiled meat from you, but raw. Verse 16, and if a man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, when you may take as much as your, and then you may take as much as your heart desires, he would answer to them, no, but you must give it now. And if not, I'll take it by force. That sounds like a real godly man, huh? Verse 17, therefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. For the men abhorred, which means despised, the offering of the Lord. So let's stop here for a minute. This isn't good. Right? The Bible describes Eli's son as corrupt men. They served in the Lord's tabernacle, but they, it says, they didn't know the Lord. Hophni and Phinehas stole portions of the sacrifice that didn't even belong to them. Right? Can you imagine? They didn't belong to them, right? As described in Leviticus 7, which we went over a long time ago, certain portions of the animal sacrifices brought to the tabernacle were given to the priest. But Eli's son took the parts of the animals that were supposed to be offered to God. Yeah, they definitely didn't know God, huh? All the fat, as we read before, you guys remember that? All the fat goes to the Lord. Right? That all the fat of the animal is to be offered to the Lord. But Eli's son took the fat for themselves. They wanted the best meats, right? We'll take the prime rib. You guys get the shank steak. Here you go, Lord. Right? He's like, you know, like Cain and Abel, right? Here you go, ready? Cain's like, yeah, I found a fruit for you, Lord, on the ground here. Yeah, it's apple doesn't look that great, but here you go. And there comes Abel with his little lamb who we loved. Here you go, Lord. We got these guys here related to Cain. Yeah, they took the fat that was supposed to go to God for themselves. And it says here, right, if the Israelites protested and said, hey, wait a minute, that fat's supposed to go to the Lord. They were like, I don't care, you better give it to me. Or I'll take it, I'll force it, right? As we read, they said, we'll take it by force. Wow, that's not good. These guys are doomed. They're dead men walking right here. Right, verse 17, it says, therefore the sin of the young men, Hophni and Phinehas, was very great before the Lord. Now, when your sin is great before the Lord, you're in big trouble unless you repent. Was very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. Punishment is coming to these young men. Let's pick up in verse 18. It says, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year. There you go. when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So she'd come up every year, see little Samuel, bring him a new robe. Right? Verse 20 says, and Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman, Hannah, for the loan that was given to the Lord, forgiven Samuel. Then they would go their own, then they would go to their own home. Verse 21 says, and the Lord visited Hannah. So she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. God's good, huh? I know you asked for one. I'm going to give you five more because, you know, because I love you and your heart's with me. Amazing. Meanwhile, we never read anything about her praying for other children. She just wanted one male son. God said, oh, I'm going to bless you. Your heart's with me. I'm going to bless you. You're getting five. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So let's just stop here for a minute. I mean, what a blessing, right? She gets a baby boy, Samuel. The Lord blesses her. She pours her heart out to God. God blesses her. Here comes Samuel. She brings him up, dedicates him, just like she said. She didn't say, oh, I just think he's so cute. I can't do it, Lord. I got to keep them. Nope. She goes, no, I made a vow with the Lord. I'm giving them back to the Lord, just like I said. And she did it. And God says, I noticed you did that. I'm going to give you five more. I'm going to give you five more. That's how God is. I mean, we serve an amazing God. You know, if your heart is with God and you are serving God and you are honoring God, he's going to honor you, right? I mean, this is God. This is the gracious God we serve. You ask for one, I'm going to give you six total because your heart's with me. It's unbelievable. Right? It says that Samuel's mother and father visit him every year, and they brought him a new robe. Yeah, maybe this one will fit you. That other one looks like it's getting high waters. Here's a new one for you. You're growing right up. Right, and it says that Samuel grew up with Eli and ministered before the Lord. Right, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Man, he must have been a cute little bugger, huh? Wearing a little ephod robe around the church. Man. All right, let's go ahead. We'll continue. This is about the prophecy against Eli's household. This is judgment coming on the boys. They're not going to get away with this. Verse 22 says, now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel. And look at this, and how they lay with the woman who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So Eli said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of the evil dealings from all the people. No, my sons, for it is not good a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. If one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father, because the Lord desired to kill them. Verse 26, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and the men. Then a man of God, this is a prophet, we don't know who he is, no name is mentioned, but it says a man of God, this would be a prophet, came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? Oh, look at this. Why do you kick at my sacrifice? In other words, why do you disrespect me? And my offering, which I have commanded in my living place, in the house of God, and honor your sons more than me. Whoa. He's saying, hey, God knows you're honoring your sons more than me, more than God. That's not good. To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of the Israel, my people? Verse 30. Therefore, the Lord of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever, but now the Lord says, far be it from me. Look at this right here. You guys have heard me quote this verse before. For those who honor me, says the Lord, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Verse 31. Behold, the days are coming that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. There goes the family tree right there. And you will see an enemy in my living place, despite all the good which God does for Israel. And there shall not be an old man in your house forever. That means everyone's dying young. Verse 33. But any of your young men whom I do not cut off from my altar shall consume your eyes and grieve your heart. And all the descendants of your house shall die in the flower of their age. That means young. Their prime. The flower of your age means your prime. He says they're going to die in their prime. Verse 34. Now this shall be a sign to you that I will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die. Both of them. Verse 35, look at this. God said, then I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who shall do according to what is in my heart and in my mind, and I'll build him a sure house, and he shall walk before my anointed forever. Verse 36, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left in your house will come and bow down to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread and say, please, put me in one of the priestly portions that I may eat a piece of bread. Not only were Hophni and Phinehas corrupt, they were sleeping with the women who worked in the tabernacle. Wow. Right? Listen, Eli might have been a godly man, but he was a horrible father. The Lord said, you honored your sons more than you honored me. He knew all this corruption was going on. All of Israel knew what they were doing. Kind of one of those parents just looked the other way. And punishment came. Godly man, terrible father. Right? He knew his sons were corrupt. They were sleeping with the women's servants in the church. He did nothing about it. And this is God's righteous judgment came on him and his family. This reminds me of the family of Korah we read about before. God said, when you go there, you conquer them, you don't take anything for yourself. Right? And Korah, he saw something silver. Ooh, this is nice. God won't see this. Yeah, okay. Whole family perished because of him. Sin affects the whole family. We've talked about that. Right? God sent the prophet to Eli, pronounced judgment on him and his family. He says, nobody, the rest of your descendants, they're going to die at an early age because of your wickedness in your house. Right? God had specifically chosen Eli's family to care for the religious matters, but they failed terribly at the job. And the Lord promised to cut off Eli's descendants and kill his two sons. Right? A sign of the truth of God's word. The prophet foretold Hophni and Phinehas, they would die on the same day. And in their place, God would raise up a faithful priest who would respect him. Now, I want to go back before we close. We'll wrap this up. We're going to close. I just want you to go to verse 30 in your Bible. Why don't you go to verse 30, and I want you to mark it or highlight it, put a star next to this verse. At the end of verse 30, I want you to know this. God said, I will honor those who honor me. And we honor God by obeying Him, serving Him, and living for Him. Right? When we honor God, when we bring glory to His name, that's honoring Him. God tells us in simple terms, this can't get any easier right here. I mean, you can't get any plain than this type of talk from the Lord. You honor me, I'll honor you. You walk with me, I'll walk with you. It's that simple with the Lord. It's that simple with the Lord. And this ends chapter 1 and 2. So why don't we go ahead, we'll close in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, oh, as we go through these two chapters, Lord, we just see. We see the importance of obedience. We see the importance of having honor for you, respect for you. It's all there, Lord. You speaking to us right here in the Scriptures about if we honor you, you'll honor us. If we walk with you, you'll walk with us. And the consequences of not doing it. So, Lord, we just thank you for speaking to us this afternoon through your word in these two chapters. And, Lord, we ask you, as we go through this book, you keep speaking to us, Lord. Keep speaking to us, Lord. Keep ministering to us, Lord, so we can get to know you better and better each day. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.